New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday with Mafia, 844-843-6879. You know what's amazing to me? I gotta be honest. I look at this story, and then I pull it up or whatever, and this is just my initial reaction to it. Like, I'm not involved in this in any capacity whatsoever, but I know that when I looked it up, all I saw was, like, if you pull up, you know, Andy Reid or Britt Reid. I mean, all you're going to see is stories about Andy Reid's son, who's, you know, an assistant coach, got in a car crash and injured a five-year-old kid with life-threatening injuries, and that there was alcohol and drugs involved. Every single story. Like, here you go. Britt Reid, the son, multi-car accident. Here's another one. Chiefs, this is Britt Reid. The police had been drinking. Blah, 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 blah. Here's another one. A statement from the Chiefs. And then talking about his son. Chiefs coach Britt Reid involved in a car crash Thursday night. One injured severely. Andy Reid is one of the finest people in the NFL, in the world. And it's a universal belief. Like so many others, I'm sending love and prayers his family's way. And obviously to all involved in the serious accident. Bottom line is what I'm getting at here. It's all about Andy and Britt, fair enough. But what it's not about is the kid that's got life-threatening injuries. To me, it's like, no, I know that it sounds extreme to say this, but, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm trying to be like, does anybody care about the kid? All they seem to care about is that Andy Reid's son did this. And that Andy Reid's got a problem on his hands now, 2 days before the Super Bowl. And that Andy Reid has to deal with this now. This is a massive distraction. And that his son is in the hospital. And he was drinking and drugging and crashed and hit these two cars. Not one, two. And he injured people. And himself. And he's in the hospital. But I'm telling you, people, in my opinion, people don't care about the guy that caused the crash with his injuries, especially when they find out he was high and drunk, right? You know he's going to fail that blood alcohol test. You know he's going to fail the drug test. He admitted he was drinking. He admitted he was taking Adderall. You're busted. And that's what they're talking about, is that he's in the hospital and that his father has to go coach the Super Bowl, and that Britt's not going to be making the trip because he can't get out of the hospital because he's injured. But the stories aren't about the kid that's injured, that's life-threatening. They're not. It's all about Andy Reid. He's got nothing to do with this except for being the father of the dope. And it really is unbelievable. Like, if you sit here, Mafia, I mean, it is so unbelievable. If you go back and look at this guy's life, there are stories. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you with us. It's Pharrell on a Bench on a pain-free Friday. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. We're talking about Andy Reid's son, Britt Reid, who caused a car crash in Kansas City near Arrowhead Stadium involving three cars. His car hit two other cars. One of them had a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old in it. The 5-year-old is in life-threatening injuries in a hospital. Also, Britt Reid is in the hospital with injuries. He will not be going to the Super Bowl. He was drinking and doing Adderall, so pills. And he admitted that he had drank and took Adderall to the cops. And that's the warrant. The warrant says it. The cops said it. They said he reeked of alcohol and his eyes were shot, bloodshot. So that's what I mean by shot. But here's the deal. You go back in time, and I said to Mafia earlier in the first hour, so if you're just tuning in now, I said to him, I go, didn't they have some other thing with heroin going on at that house? And Mafia's like, yeah. And then he's like, it's the other son. So it turns out he's got, and I can't keep track of all this, I think he's got Garrett Reid, Britt Reid, Britt's the one that got in a wreck. And I'm not positive, but I'm seeing Spencer Reid, but I thought the guy's name was Crosby Reid, and then Drew Ann Reid. I can't keep track of, let's see if, it's hard for me. Spencer Reid, I see no picture of. Crosby Reid, I see pictures of. Drew Ann Reid, I see pictures of. But here's the deal. It's about Britt Reid. Okay, so Britt Reid's the one that did this. But the stories are so unbelievable, Mafia, that I can't even, here's one. Eagles coaches home a drug emporium. Two sons have been jailed. Sentenced to jail. I mean, this is crazy. A judge has sentenced his two sons, this is back in 07, for a drug emporium and questioned whether his adult sons should live there. And then the judge sentenced 24-year-old Garrett Reid, a drug addict and dealer who said he got a thrill out of selling drugs in the hood, to 23 months in jail for smashing into another motorist car while high on heroin. I mean, this is crazy. I can't even keep track of it all. So anyway, both sons were in all kinds of trouble that year. Heroin, drugs, you name it.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Scott Miller is one of my favorites all time. Great baseball writer, author. Of course, SiriusXM, MLB Network Radio, does Fox Sports San Diego. He wrote a kick-ass book, 90% Mental. Everything he does is turns to gold and magical. You got to read his stuff. Anyway, we thought we'd bring him on tonight from Southern California and out in our mightier 1090 land to talk about Trevor Bauer. Scott, first of all, great to have you back on the bench. I have to say, Mafia is very upset because he's a Mets fan. He thinks that Bauer played games with Mets fans. He taunted them. He had, you know, hats, shirts, colors. He did all kinds of, you know, social media torture to Mets fans. But I told him that the reality of it is, I understand his feelings, how upset he is that he didn't do the deal with the Mets. But I think this was about, you know, he's a Southern California kid. He's from L.A., went to UCLA, and this is just another situation where I think the guy wanted to, A, get a killer deal, and I think, B, wanted to go home and play for the Dodgers. It's as simple as that for me. I don't think he did anything intentionally to the Mets. I think maybe try to drive the price up, but I think he really wanted to go home.
Yeah, Scott, nice to be with you again. Happy New Year to you and everybody listening, and happy Super Bowl weekend. And I agree. You know, he went to UCLA, you're right, he's a Southern Cal kid. And early on this winter in the negotiations, there's a lot of speculation that the Los Angeles Angels were going to be his landing spot for the same reason,
right,
that he's from Southern,
right,
Cal. You know, and the Angels, everybody knows, are desperate for starting pitching. And, you know, a lot of people thought that made too much sense not to happen. And then, of course, the weeks and months dragged on this winter. And you're right. I mean, there were a lot of social media teasing yesterday, pointing toward, hey, the Mets may be the team. But, you know, in the end, if you're a free agent and you come down to it and your final two teams are the Mets and the Dodgers, you're in pretty good shape financially, because the negotiations are all about business. And, you know, if one of your two finalists is, say, no offense to the Milwaukee Brewers or the Pittsburgh Pirates, who never go after, and I'm sorry about that, Scott, I know you're a Pirates fan, you know as well as anybody, they never go after anybody. But
right,
you know, if you're Trevor Bauer and your final two teams are the Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates, you're probably going to take whatever the Dodgers give you, and it doesn't have to be that much. But when your final two teams are the Mets and Dodgers, two of the richer teams in baseball, that's the dream scenario, because you can use both teams to try to ratchet up the offer in a competitive situation and get more money, and that's exactly what happened. You know, and it's a short-term deal, just 3 years, but, you know, my goodness, 3 years, $120 million. I mean, his salary will be $40 million in 2021 and then $42 million in 2022. Plus, he's going to a team that is by far the favorites to get back to the World Series again. I mean, money, winning, hometown, what else is there?
Right. I mean, honestly, and he's got opt-outs after the first 2 years. He got a delicious deal. I have to ask you, you know, he is a guy that taunts people. He taunted teams, dugouts, batters. He walks off the mound like he's Conor McGregor with the strut walk. He likes to kind of be a jerk. I mean, he likes to humiliate people.
Yeah.
He likes to mess with the media. And I got to be honest with you, Scott, in New York, if you don't win every 5 days, they're going to torture you in the tabloids here like no other. They don't even write this nasty in Los Angeles, and you know it. In L.A., the L.A. Times has always been a great paper and a great sports page, but they don't attack people like they do in New York every day. For you go 0-3, they'll crucify your children. And I don't think this guy would have had a lasting relationship in New York with the media and the fans. If he ever had any stretch where he wasn't good, they would have tortured him. He goes to the Dodgers. They're so good, you wouldn't even notice if he had a bad outing.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're exactly right. And in terms of the pressure that's on the Dodgers and the team, you're right. It's West Coast is a different kind of pressure than back East. I mean, you know, there's, you know, the Dodgers are one of baseball's jewel franchises, and they draw 3 million plus fans a year in non-pandemic years, of course.
Right,
and they're wildly popular, and you're right. There's pressure on every big league player, but not like there is back East. And we're, to your point, where Trevor Bauer's concerned, not only is he going to escape the whole tabloid slash and burn type of columnists that come out when you're not performing, not only is he avoiding that, but in going to the Dodgers, it's also a team that is the defending World Series champion. So the edge is off a little bit in terms of the fans, the organization, the team. That pressure to win, to a degree,
right,
has been satiated, right, by winning last year. So
right,
Bauer also enters a situation where if he doesn't perform quite as well or the Dodgers don't, it's almost like a mulligan situation. You know, the fans, instead of being outraged, for the last many years, all the Dodgers heard was, the Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988. How can that be?
Right.
Well, they won last year. They're not hearing that anymore. So if they don't win next summer, you know, there's still all the good vibes they got from winning last year.
Would they? But now their partners down the road, They're good friends in San Diego, have a hell of a team, and they're loaded. And I know, I think I read something that you put on your media about, you know, these two teams are so far and away better than everyone else now in the National League. And in the West, forget about it. It's those two teams only. And then the Mets have Lindor and Carrasco, and they've got DeGrom, and they've got McNeil, and they've got Polar Bear. They got some talent. And if Stroman does something, and if Thor comes back, the Mets mean business. But the Dodgers are still better than the Mets. And if you ask me, the Padres are at least as good as the Mets, if not better.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and you're exactly right. If you start local, small in the National League West, just look at this week. The Dodgers certainly made they pulled out the sledgehammer today to make this move. I mean, it gets your attention. You got a rotation of Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, David Price is coming back. I mean, it's stupid, this rotation. You know, and the Padres... they've added Joe Musgrove to the rotation. You Darvish, Blake Snell, you know, one of the better pitchers in the game. So there's no question to me the Dodgers and Padres and then everybody else. And also just look at this week, just this week alone in the National League West. The Dodgers today had Trevor Bauer. A couple days ago, what did the Colorado Rockies do? Not that they were going to contend, but they shipped Nolan Arenado to St. Louis. I mean, the Rockies got...
Can you imagine?
Right.
Can you imagine?
I mean...
Now, let me ask you.
Go on.
Let me ask you. Do you have to run? Do you got to run tonight? Can you do one more segment with me? Because I got to break. Otherwise, I got to let you go. But if you can do one more, I wouldn't mind asking you a few more questions about all these situations. Can you hang for one more?
Yeah, I can. Let's do it.
All right, perfect. All right, that's perfect. So, because I was going to say that, you know, here's the deal with Arenado, and we'll break and come back, and I'll get your reaction to this. But my feeling is, can you imagine this guy, of all teams to go to, is the St. Louis Cardinals? Because you know what they do in St. Louis? You and I have had this conversation. What they do in St. Louis is, once every few years, they win championships. And it's the guys like this, a guy as good as Arenado, that's going to put them over the top. We'll come back with Scott Miller on the bench. All right, my favorite guy out in San Diego and all of baseball has always been Scott Miller, and I'm always jealous of him that he lives out there, and I'm in crappy New York City where we got 5 feet of snow the other day. I literally had 5 feet of snow drifts. It was so awful, and now we're getting another one on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, another nor'easter's blowing through here, and all I ever think about is La Jolla Shores and surfing in Southern California, and I hate it here. I just wanted to say that. So, Scott... when Arenado went to the Cardinals, you can't even tell me I'm wrong. Every great player, it seems like, ends up in St. Louis. And over the years, all those championship banners, all those rings, Whitey Herzog, go all the way back. All they've ever done is tormented me. I can't stand them. And then they get Arenado. What was this Monfort and the Rockies thinking? I don't understand. They just gave him a gigantic deal like 2 years ago. And what happened? I don't understand, because now they just basically admit to the world that they could care less about winning.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, part of what happened is they signed him to that monster deal. You're right. Arenado's a competitor. He wants to win. When he signed, he thought they were building something. And then last winter, things went south. And he saw that, he didn't, in his mind, think the Rockies were trying to win. He thought they were just kind of mailing it in. And he went, you know, his relationship with the front office and general manager Jeff Bridich went south, because he was angry, because he felt like the Rockies were just giving lip service and they weren't seriously trying to win. And, you know, so he had some public words of criticism, and then that led to some private talks where, you know, as you can imagine, people running the Rockies basically told him to tone it down, and, you know, that he's getting a big contract and he shouldn't be saying that stuff in public. And, You know, it's the writing's been on the wall ever since then. I mean, there was some thought they would trade him before last season because the relationship had just been damaged. You know, at the time, it seemed like it might be irreparably, and that's what I take this trade this week to be, proof that the damage was that the relationship was damaged irreparably. So, you know, Colorado's loss is, I feel bad for the people in Denver, the baseball fans in Denver, because, you know, he's Nolan Arenado is one of the best third basemen of the game. It's a joy to watch him play defense night after night. But the people in Denver have to realize, and I'm sure they do, that their team really isn't trying to win, and it's not run very well under Monfort and especially general manager Brittich. And St. Louis is trying to win. It's what they do every year. So great job by the Cardinals to step in. And
right.
With Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt at the corners, they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And they're going to win that division, and they're going to go to the playoffs a bunch of times, and they're going to win a world championship. You can smell it already cooking in the kitchen because that's what they do there. La Russa knew it. Herzog knew it. You know, it's such a great baseball town. That's what it is. I mean, I remember when they had the Rams, and then when the Rams left, I was there once for a fight, and like an MMA fight, a Bellator fight, and it was the downtown was completely naked and barren, and there wasn't a soul on the streets. I thought I was in a movie, and I was the last person on earth. But that's not the case in the summer with that baseball franchise. They sell out every game. They draw $3 million. It's a scene. It is a great baseball town, and I hate them, but they are fantastic. Fantastic. Now let's go back to the Dodgers for a second with Bauer. So Bauer fits into this amazing rotation. They're the best team in baseball. They won the World Series. They got Mookie Betts. That's all you need to know. They have all these other great players to boot. And I want to know from what you know, because I've heard people, Lindor said he's a great teammate. I haven't heard anyone in Cincinnati say that. What's the truth about him? Because I know he's scientific, he's physics, he's geometry, he's all about angles, he's all about math. He's a brilliant guy, very smart, very astute, and everything else. He sure rubs people the wrong way in the public eye and in the media, but people can't get enough of him because he's so controversial. But do teammates think he's a jerk?
You know, I mean, it depends on who. I mean, He in the clubhouse, he's got his guys that have always loved him, that respect how badly he tries to win and respect his brains and how much he is always prepared every single start. You know, he doesn't mail anything in. He's extra prepared all the time. That said, in every clubhouse he's been in, yeah, you also have your share. You know, there are players that roll their eyes and think this guy's act is a little too strong and, you know, come on, you know, he's just out to get attention. But, you know, Scott, as it does so oftentimes in sports in general, but, you know, what it comes down to is if he performs on the field. And last year he won Cy Young. Granted, it was a short pandemic shortened 60-game season. So, right. You know, I think everything that happened last year comes with an asterisk. But he won the Cy Young. He was one of the best pitchers in the game. When he's performing at that level, he's got a lot more friends in his own clubhouses than when his ERA is up around 6. He's one of those guys that, you know, if he's getting hit around – some of what he does seems less than authentic, and it rubs people the wrong way. But when he's pitching like he did last year, that's when the teammates that maybe would go the other way and roll their eyes veer back his way because everybody likes to win. So that's what a lot of Trevor Bauer is going to be about, especially in Los Angeles, the next couple of years.
Wow. Scott Miller with us, the great baseball writer. Let me ask you about Snell. Now, I want to know what you think, because I feel, did Preller go after him because he knew that the relationship between Snell and Cash was broken after he yanked him out of that World Series game, and that his manager, the genius who does all the, you know, starting relievers and changing and always pulling the starter in the sixth and all this other, do you think that when he yanked him out of that game, when he was pitching so brilliantly in that World Series game, that their relationship ended right then and there, and Preller smelled that and came swooping in and got him? Or do you think he flat out said, I don't want to play for this guy anymore. I'm out of here. Get me out of here. What happened with Blake Snell? How did he end up in San Diego? Because I wouldn't have gotten rid of that guy. I would have rather been hit in the head with a rock than have my team lose that guy. He's brilliant pitcher. And the Padres, he's now the best pitcher on the team, hands down.
Yeah, I disagree. And, you know, odd as it may sound, Scott, I don't think it was a case where his relationship in Tampa Bay was broken. It was more a case that he was about to become more expensive, and the way Tampa Bay runs its shop down there, they just don't pay the big money to anybody. And it was a case of they knew in another year or two he was going to get more and more expensive. And given the year that he had, he was at peak value, and they thought this was a time. They understood in Tampa Bay they weren't going to be able to keep Blake Snell for long term. And so they decided this was the optimal time to trade him. So a couple things here. I think what A.J. Preller recognized, it wasn't that the relationship was broken, but it was that he recognized this is the way Tampa does it. Also, he had a relationship with Tampa Bay general manager Eric Neander and the rest of the Rays front office. Because if you go back a year ago, remember, Preller completed a deal with Tampa Bay that brought Tommy Pham and right. Jake Cronenworth, who turned out to be a really good rookie, to San Diego. So Preller has a history of trading with Tampa Bay. There's a good relationship there, so I think that helped. I was on a video conference with Blake Snell not long after the trade, and he said I was angry after the World Series, and I still think about coming out of that game. He said, but I've always trusted Kevin Cash. He said some very nice things about Cash, and beyond that, he raved about the pitching coach Kyle Snyder in Tampa Bay. Has become very close with Blake Snell. And Snell said that they talk, like Snell and Kyle Snyder, even into the off season, they talk on the phone like an hour a day. They've got like a brotherly or a father-son relationship.
Wow.
That's intact still. So I don't think it's not that Snell had to get out of Tampa Bay. He admitted also right after the trade on this video conference that it's going to take him a bit to adjust to the trade because he grew up in the Tampa Bay organization. It's all he knows, and they were great to him. So I do believe him there because he's enough of a honest, outspoken guy that I think, right. You know, he would certainly call spade a spade. But I think especially he was really close to the pitching coach, Kyle Snyder. And you know, so I think that's all what went into the trade. Most of it had to do with why Tampa Bay, the old
right. –
joke that a lot of people say today, right? It's why Tampa Bay can't have nice things because they just don't pay.
Well, listen, they first of all, I think that the next guy will be Glasnow that they won't be able to afford. And I got to tell you, once he plays at Petco every day with that team and lives in San Diego, he'll forget about playing in that cavern they played in down there, and they can't get a new stadium. He'll forget about Tampa Bay in a hurry. I have to run. One other thing I'll leave you with. I don't know where they're going to come up with the money for Tatis to pay Machado to keep Snell and the rest of that fancy team in San Diego. The next time we talk, we'll talk about their problems signing Tatis. Tease to some gigantic deal. Scott, I got to run. I love you. Thanks for coming on the bench.
You're listening to the source of live odds, line, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it
the winning edge.
Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
anyway, Pharrell on the Bench. So great having Scott Miller on. I hope you enjoyed that talk about the Dodgers and Padres, Southern California. I hope you got a little taste of that. We do care about you. Trust me, you. I like it out there better than where I am. So know that. Live it. I lived out there in Huntington Beach for 10 years. Trust me, I know what it's like. I'm down with SoCal. And I live in New York City, and it's hell. Hell on earth. But anyway, New York's a great city. It really is, but it sucks. It's awesome, but it sucks. Anyway, I got to tell you, the story about Reed's son, that's nothing. I mean, that's amateur hour compared to what these kids did back in the day in 07 Mafia. The Garrett and Britt, the two of them, were both in jail for heroin and hard drugs, pills, everything, weed, guns. They also had road rage incidents, DUIs, the whole deal. But anyway, the thing that's interesting, the one, the Garrett, actually, when he went to jail, they said he smuggled 89, they found 89 pills that he smuggled in his garage door, in his back door. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, right in the old, he tucked it in there and snuck it into prison. When he was checking into prison for his 23-month sentence, he rocked the, you know, he got out the Vaseline and and worked an angle and had the jimmy into the cave, and he pulled it out. They found all the pills in his jail cell like the day after he got put in there, and he was nothing but trouble, this guy. And he did so many hard drugs, allegedly, that he couldn't even go to jail without his drugs. He had to smuggle them in. And they told the story about it. I saw the stories on ABC News back in the day in 07. This is 2021 now. And here we are all these years later. Now, I have no idea how Garrett is doing. I don't follow these things. But Britt is the one that got into this car crash Thursday night. He's the one that's in the hospital now. He's the one that put the five-year-old on life-threatening injuries in the hospital. He's the one that's once again dragging his father's good name through the mud. This is going to be, obviously, we're talking about it. I'm talking about it. Everybody's going to be talking about it. I guarantee you they're talking about it in Kansas City. I guarantee you they're talking about it in Tampa. I mean, without even a doubt. And they're going to be talking about it tomorrow. And then I'm doing a show Sunday, 3 to 6, with Morenci, the in-game live Super Bowl special that we're doing, 3 to 6 East on Sports Grid TV and on Sirius 204. And I'm sure Mightier 1090. But we're going to be on for 3 hours. It'll be noon to 3 West Coast time, 3 to 6 East Coast time, and then the game starts at 6:30 or whatever. You know we're going to be talking about it. It's automatic. He, in my opinion, had nothing to do with that team. You know, outside linebackers coach my ass. That guy has been on that team coaching with that father of his. In my opinion, just that, and I'm free to say this, because his father wants to keep him out of trouble. And he can't even do that. Why in God's name is this guy drinking and drugging on Thursday night as they're getting ready to get on a plane and go play in the Super Bowl on Sunday? I mean, you know you got a drug problem when you can't even stay clean when you're going to the Super Bowl and you can't even make it to the finish line to the team plane on Saturday. He's not going now. So if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, Mafia, and they win and repeat as Super Bowl champions, he's not gonna have anything to do with it. I'm sure they'll give him his ring if they win it, and he'll, you know, if I were his father, I wouldn't give him a ring. He screwed up again. This guy's been an F up his entire young adult life since high school. He's been nothing but trouble. If you read the stories about him, they both admit they've had massive drug problems. And that one of them, the other one, Garrett, was a drug dealer. He dealt in the hood. He said he got off doing it. He loved selling drugs. He said he loved going into the bad hoods in Philadelphia and selling drugs. He said it made him feel like a kingpin. I read the stories. And I mean, right out of his own mouth. This is what he was saying in court when they were sentencing him in drug court to go to jail for 23 months. And his brother, too. One of them was, Garrett was bragging about how much fun he had selling drugs. And he sold them to rich suburban kids, their parents.
I keep getting chance after chance like this. Can you?
Well, yeah. It's white privilege.
So that was actually Garrett and his brother talking in a lunch break at the courthouse. They got an hour to have lunch. If you listen again closely, you can see that they're, you know, bonding and sharing a moment together when they just admit all of their problems. And I mean, listen again closely.
I can't believe that I keep getting chance after chance like this. Can you?
Well, yeah. It's white privilege.
Andy giving him these gigs. Now, I don't know about, yeah. I don't even know, does the other one have a coaching gig too, Garrett? Does the whole family coach on the team?
We were talking about that in the break. I mean, if you had the kind of rap sheet these kids had, forget like a coach in an NFL championship team. Like, you can't get a managerial position at McDonald's. And somehow this guy's an NFL coach because daddy's the head coach and one of the greatest coaches ever. For that. Now this kid, after what he did, has this gig and then screws it up again.
Is that like the... Is that our, because you and I've had, we've certainly had plenty of conversations over the years about that nepotism string they got going around here.
Yeah, it's certain media companies, yes. Well, actually, a lot of media companies, at least not even certain ones we worked. And there's plenty of other ones, too. Let's face it.
Listen, I saw all of the media awards for the, that come out during the Super Bowl week every year. You know, we used to be on those lists of all the ranking of the best shows and everything like that. I was happy to see a couple people did well on there, and I reached out to them today. Mafia, Jim Gracie in Pittsburgh was rated the top.
Listen up, the ratings just came in for last month. We are number one.
That was actually Jim right there. Celebrating his being ranked number one, the number one program director in mid-majors, and that's Pittsburgh. And then our boy Pony, did you see the Pony Express and his and Mueller, I think? Hopefully I got that right. I probably screwed it up, but I know Pony does the show with this dude, and he used to do my show all the time, Mafia, and fill in for me and stuff like that?
Yeah, he used to fill in for your times before you started getting those early morning shifts, those prime time shifts. He was doing your show filling in. He also did stuff on, you know, the weekends on CBS Sports Radio and was a frequent guest with us too whenever we talked Pittsburgh stuff.
Right. I like Pony, and I'm happy for him. And then our boy Chernoff finished number two as the major market PD. Meanwhile, he's been number one. I don't know if you knew this or not, but literally he was number one, like, I think every single year since the you know, the little voting escapades began. So every year since that thing, since its inception, he's been number one every year. And he was our boss, and I worked with him now for, you know, over, I guess, like 20 years, right, at least. He was my boss back in the 90s and 2000s and stuff like that. And then he was my boss in 2004 or 5, something like that. And then he was my boss. I was involved with him again when I was on WNEW in New York in Morning Drive. And then he was my boss for the last 8 years before I went to Sports Grid. So I wrote him today, and I've stayed in touch with him, believe it or not. I'm friends with him. that's the craziest thing ever, because he screamed and yelled at me for 15 years. And then for the last whatever 8 years, I got along with him, right? Because I'm old and I got kids and a mortgage, and you know what I mean? Like, that changes everything. When he yelled at me, I was young, single, crazy, and drunk. And when I was older and, you know, I had my shack together, and I had a wife and kids and a mortgage and responsibilities, I certainly was a different person, and I didn't party. So I got along with him. So I was happy for him that he always won the thing. And then today I wrote him and said that the guy that won can't hold your onions. But I don't know the guy that won. I just know of him. I don't know him personally. So I didn't mention his name on the show here tonight. I don't want to get involved in a conspiracy with, you know, sports radio stations, how sensitive everybody gets. I don't get into the whole.
Hey, I'm just trying to have a little friendly conversation.
That was it right there. I just tried to have a nice conversation about people that I care about and that I support in their excellence and success. And we have several friends that were on many of these lists. I can't keep track of all of them. Our boy Andy Baskin made it on the list. JT the Brick made it on the list. People that I know that I am friends with and I support and I want them to do well in life. I'm happy for everybody. If I'm forgetting anyone, Gio and Boomer, I'm friends with them. I'm happy for all those shows, Tiki and Tierney, all the DA, Mraz, all the guys that we worked with. I'm happy for everybody. Mafia, you and I and Carver High have won those awards as well. And I got to tell you, they do not help you at all when you run out of toilet paper in a pandemic.
Yeah, raises do not come with those.
No. Yeah, raises are not part of the equation. They tell you how wonderful you are, and then they offer you a pay cut. Congratulations on being one of the best shows in the world. We're going to offer you a 20% pay cut. So I'm not a fan of all the awards and such. I don't believe in rules.
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cup.
I think that was one of the sales managers at LoserCom. She was the one that ended up having sex with one of the producers in the sales office one night. But we never had parties there at all. There was no parties ever. Remember they reported there was all these parties, Mafia, that we never went to. Remember they said all we did was drink and do drugs and have parties. I never went to a party there in my life. That's the funny thing, right? Mavi is telling me now that I'm running out of time. Do you have the response, Chernoff's response to being number two? Do you have that? Can you play it?
Damn it! I'm too old to care about what other people think of me. Did that sound cool?
So right after he finished second, he went for a four-mile jog in Manhattan. Guy runs more than anyone I know. When we come back, I'll get you caught up on the hockey, the NBA, and college hoop scores if I can do it. I don't know if I'm that talented. All right, I don't have a lot of time, so I got to hurry. Nevada covered for me tonight, Mafia. I gave you that one today on Coast to Coast. Getting a four against Boise State. They beat them 74-72. I'm just going to find ones that I threw out there that mattered the most. Here's another one. Old Dominion was my number one play, getting 3.5. They won 82-81 over Marshall. Cover! Penn State, I gave you as my number three play, laying two against Maryland. They beat them 55-50 in Happy Valley. There you go. Texas State by 10 over Little Rock. Blah, 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 blah. Rice won. All right, let me see if I can get a couple of these other ones in here, maybe that I put up there today. Akron, the Zips, beat Kent State 72-61. They'll probably play them again. I had Dayton was my one of my plays. 74-65, they beat George Mason and covered the 7.5. Arlington, 63-56 over Monroe. Arkansas State by 8 over Louisiana. Middle Tennessee beat Charlotte by 1. Irvine, 70-53 over Bakersfield. UAB covered against UTEP. Wright State blew out UIC. Louisiana Tech beat North Texas easily. They're going to play again tomorrow. That's all of them. Let me give you the NBA. The Celtics have a five-point lead over the Clippers at the start of the fourth quarter. The Suns ended up beating the Pistons 109-92. T-Wolves by three over the Thunder. Jazz blew out the Hornets and covered. Bucks blew out the Cavs and covered. Raptors covered the five and beat the Nets 123-117. Magic covered and won over the Bulls 123-119. Pelicans upset the Pacers and Indy by one. Heat covered and blew out the Wizards 122-95. NHL. I went 7-1 the other night, then a crappy 1-6 night the next night, and tonight, just for good measure, Mafia, 5-0. Knights up 5-0 on the Kings. Oh, wait, the Ducks are blowing it now, 3-3 with the Sharks. I hit the Bruins 2-1 over the Flyers, Lightning 3-1 over the Red Wings, Panthers 2-1 over the Predators. Get all my picks, hockey, college hoops, NBA, Mafia's UFC at PharrellOnTheBench.com. See you Sunday at 3 with Morenzi on the Super Bowl special.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.